And here is the Writer's Almanac for Sunday. It's the 5th of July, 2009. It's the birthday of Jean Cocteau, born in Maisons-Laffitte, France, in 1889, poet and artist, playwright. Cocteau, who said, "The worst tragedy for a poet is to be admired, though being misunderstood." And it was on this day in 1937 that Spam came onto the market, a canned meat product from Hormel Foods Corporation, given its name by the winner of a contest who got $100 for it. A Hormel spokesperson once said the name was short for shoulder of pork and ham. Another time, an official said it was based on the words spice and ham. Over the years, some people have said it stood for something posing as meat. Spam sold in this country is mostly produced in Austin, Minnesota, Spamtown, USA, home of the Spam Museum. Hawaii holds the record for most Spam consumed per capita, and Spam has been nicknamed Hawaiian steak. It's the main course in the Israeli Defense Forces combat meal kits, where the pork is replaced by beef, so it's kosher. In 1970, there was a Monty Python sketch in which the actors go into a cafe, try to order breakfast, but everything on the menu contains Spam. The waitress says the menu consists of Spam, 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 baked beans, Spam, 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 and Spam. And it was from that Monty Python sketch that Spam acquired the use familiar today, unwanted or unsolicited email. The first recorded use of the word in that sense was in 1993. Spam is now a noun in French, Portuguese, and Vietnamese. In German, the verb to spam is spammen. In Czech, spamovat. And in Italian, spammare. Here's a poem for today by Carolyn Miller, entitled A Warm Summer in San Francisco. Although I watched and waited for it every day, somehow I missed it, the moment when everything reached the peak of ripeness. It wasn't at the solstice. That was only the time of the longest light. It was sometime after that, when the plants had absorbed all that sun, had taken it into themselves for food, and swelled to the height of fullness. It was in July, in a dizzy blaze of heat and fog, when on some nights it was too hot to sleep, and the restaurants set half their tables on the sidewalks. Outside the city, down the coast, the Milky Way floated overhead, and shooting stars fell from the sky over the ocean. One day the garden was almost overwhelmed with fruition. My sweet peas struggled out of the raised bed onto the mulch of laurel leaves and bark and pods, their brilliantly colored sunbonnets of rose and stippled pink, magenta, and deep purple, pouring out a perfume that was almost oriental. Black-eyed Susan stared from the flower borders. The orange cherry tomatoes were sweet as candy. The corn fattened in its swaths of silk. Hummingbirds spiraled by in pairs. The bees gave up and decided to live in the lavender. At the market, surrounded by black plums and rosy plums and sugar prunes and white-fleshed peaches and nectarines, perfumey melons and mangoes, purple figs in green plastic baskets, clusters of tiny champagne grapes and piles of red-black cherries and apricots freckled and streaked with rose. I felt tears come into my eyes, absurdly, because I knew that summer had peaked and was already passing away. I felt very close then to understanding the mystery. It seemed to me that I almost knew what it meant to be alive, as if my life had swelled to some high moment of response, as if I could reach out and touch the season, as if I were inside its body, surrounded by sweet pulp and juice, shimmering veins and ripened skin. A poem by Carolyn Miller, A Warm Summer in San Francisco. From her collection Light Moving, published by 16 Rivers Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. You can find thousands of poems, videos, and podcasts in their online poetry archive at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Thomas Scheutzker. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.